You're watching another episode of This Week in Google Glass. This is Larry the Cable Guy. Noah, this is Jeffrey Powers. I'm in downtown Las Vegas. And, of course, I've got Luke Wallace here. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of news. Virgin Atlantic getting glass, NYPD getting glass. We're going to talk about the 17 triggers. And then, of course, we're going to talk about Senator Al Franken in the reply for one of the apps that happened. This is all on This Week in Google Glass. Hey everybody, Jeffrey Powers here from Geekazine Think Magazine. Put in a geek, you've got Geekazine. I'm in downtown Las Vegas, and of course you can find me over at geekazine.com, and of course Jeff at twig.tv, T-W-I-G-G.tv. And of course, as always, my co-host, Mr. Luke Wallace. How you doing, Luke?
Hey, doing good tonight, Jeff. And if anybody out there is looking for me, I'm Luke Luca on Twitter, or Luke at twig.tv, or you can always find me on Google+. That's google.com/plus Luke Wallace.
Now, I could be Larry the Cable Guy. How y'all doing? Or I could be Steve Austin. Don't trust anybody. Or whatever. I don't know. I don't think. But anyway, I got this. I'm in downtown Las Vegas. I'm here for a tech cocktail, which is all these startups. They're going to get together. We're going to talk all about startups. We're going to talk about the Downtown Las Vegas Project, which is really cool. Tony Hsieh from Zappos. Zappos, that's actually the building that's right here. Tony Hsieh has put in $350 million into this downtown Las Vegas. This is the old casinos where you would go to, if you saw a movie in the 50s or 60s, you'd see these places. And of course, that way is Fremont Street and the Fremont Street experience. But over here is where all the startups are happening, and they've got a lot of stuff. And I visited here back at CES. It was amazing. They brought me back for Tech Cocktail. It's really cool. So today, when I got here, my friend Dylan, who actually runs the Downtown Podcast, which is their startup podcast, and they're, I'm gonna check it out on Thursday, which is really cool. But we walked around, we checked out the Gold Spike, we checked out the Container Park, we checked out their hospital and how they're doing healthcare in different ways, and we won't get too much into that, but they're doing a lot of different stuff, especially with wearables. And I got to talk to these guys. These guys are called Tacky. And it doesn't sound, I know you might be thinking, well, that sounds tacky, but it's an expression inside of programming. It's a tack or a tacky. And they gave me this nice cool hat, because if it wasn't for that, I would have really gotten my skull sunburned today. I got a little bit of red in my face here. So, but it's, you know, you go from minus 10 degrees to 70 degrees, it's going to happen. So, it's not minus 10 or it's not minus 10 in Austin or in Dallas, is it?
No, we're sitting right around freezing. We've got some ice maybe blowing through a little tonight, a little freezing drizzle. So the roads may be bad in the morning, but no, it's not quite that bad. It's supposed to warm up, be 70 by the weekend, they say. So,
so this is a very interesting thing. Is you are in the cold and I'm in the warm in this situation. So
it's different than our normal week.
So now, as you know, first of all, as you can see, I got my version 2 pair of Google Glass with me. So yeah, I've got that, and everything looks good. I'm happy with this pair. Of course, I did do my modification, the piece of packing tape over the button, so I don't sweat on it. Especially, this will be the test. I mean, I will sweat sometime this week in Vegas, because it is 70 degrees, and we'll see what happens. We'll see if the problems start coming with me. But you have your Google Glass. Yeah, did you get your prescription back, or what's going on there?
No. So if you saw me last week, so I had my frames last week, and I was going to take them in and get them, you know, and get everything done. But there's been some delays there, so I've actually got the frames back today. So one thing you'll see here, Twig exclusive, is the Google Glass frames being worn without Google Glass. So this is what they look like, and you can see they look pretty much like normal glasses at this point. So
yes,
you know, and you can see that they do fit just barely. Do they kind of fit into my ear and kind of keep from falling down? So I think if they were removable, and I think we talked about this last week, if they were removable, it would have been real nice because you could have actually gotten by wearing them like this.
Yeah.
You know, if they had just designed glass just slightly differently, it would have been a lot easier. So, you know, that's probably my critique of, you know, if they were going to do this again or do it this same way, I would have done it just a little bit different. So they could have just popped glass off and maybe even do some sort of quick release like you've mentioned before.
Well, I read somewhere in the last few days about somebody actually working on a quick release format, not Google, but an actual third-party person, or third-party, whatever you want to call it. They were actually working on creating some sort of lock system and go from there. But maybe if you can find a 3D printer, or maybe somebody out there that has a 3D printer, work with the Bose and get the dimensions to actually create a place marker for glass. So if you have to take your pair of Google Glass off your frames, you can put this place marker on and actually wear them like a pair of frames.
Yeah, it'd be real nice if there was some sort of 3D printed, if it was white so it matched the other side and it could like slip on.
Yep.
I could see that being just real clever. Doesn't Ben Heck live near you up there in Madison? I know he's got some 3D printers.
I know he's got a CNC machine. I don't know if he's got a 3D printer. I'll have to.
I've seen it. I watched the show. Send him. It's like it's good.
Me and Ben, we're like this. I'm over here, and we've talked about me going to his shop one of these days, and I know exactly where it is. It just never really happened. So. Maybe in the next couple of weeks I'll head over to a shop and maybe we'll work on a project together.
I could definitely scan these from like a top-down perspective, and then that would give you a nice one-to-one, and you could maybe make a mirror for it that would fit on there, and you know, do some things like get some dimensions that way. So I might have to we might have to work on that a little offline. But I guess to kind of wrap up. The lens discussion.
Yeah.
You know, I talked to several places, and so if you're thinking about getting these and buying lenses for them, talking to several different places, it looked like about the cheapest lenses you would be able to get if you didn't get any sort of, or if you got like just the basic lens with not any extra scratch protection or anti-reflective coatings, you're probably looking at around $160. You know, to $200 for kind of a basic lens somewhere. Single vision, you know, not a real strong prescription. What I'm looking at with a little bit of an anti-reflective coating, something a little higher, is probably closer to $300. And then it might go as high as $400, depending on just kind of where you go and what kind of coatings and, you know, what kind of material you get the lens made out of. So. I would say if anybody's thinking about it, that's probably what you're looking at, but that's the same that you would pay for lenses on a standard pair of glasses. So nothing unusual beyond that.
So when it's all said and done, $1,500 for the frames, $225 for the titanium frames. Or, I'm sorry, $1,500 for the Google Glass,
yeah.
$225 for the titanium frames. Another, what was the low end of that?
So $160 is probably the cheapest I heard for a basic lens.
So $160 plus $225, that's $385 plus $1,500, that's
$1,885.
Plus tax. plus shipping.
This
and that. But, yeah, well, of course, and then the idea is that Google Glass will be down to $500. So now $1,850 will actually become $850 for a pair of glasses. So is that I was always the person that actually went to Lens Crafters, we have in our area ShopGo, but you know, ShopGo Optical, but you know, you might have, I don't know what you have down there that's like that, the secondhand store, the Walmart's Optical.
Yeah, Walmart does glasses now.
And getting like a pair of frames and glasses for somewhere with eye exam for somewhere around $200, not $850. Mm-hmm. That's a big jump up for glasses. And you know, I haven't bought a pair of glasses in over 10 years because I wear contacts. Mm-hmm. So do you see $850 being an acceptable number?
You know, I think I do. So I mentioned this on Wearables Weekly. So I don't know if anybody's watching from there. If, you know, if you're watching the show, it's great to have you. But
oh,
I did
yeah.
mention, you know, that like that I went to the eye store or to the eye store to the optometrist the day after our last week's podcast, and I did go in looking to price some frames just to see. And so I walked over, and there were some that said titanium, you know, on there. And I was like, oh, well, here's titanium frames. And I picked them up, and the price was $229. And then I put those back, and there were some next to them that were a little more stylish, but they were, or, you know, stylish, you know, in someone's opinion. And I picked them up, and they were $239, and they weren't titanium or anything. And so I don't think that the $225 frame part is really out of balance. So now there's the whole idea of, well, were you going to buy glasses anyway? If you were, then it's maybe not much different. And there is some coverage from insurance, and you can use your HSAs and all that. So, it you know, maybe it's not too much more, and so the real marginal cost is that glass, which, yeah, they haven't announced a real price for, but yeah, $500 would be a lot better. Now that they've released these, I'm pretty much assuming that for the next year or so, the form factor we're seeing is going to be the form factor we see when they launch. And so I should be able to use these frames, even if they come out with a new version at launch, which they may or may not do. I would assume that these frames will continue to work on there. And I would hope that they would support those frames for a while.
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I would hope so, because it doesn't make sense for them to put together this whole package and then turn around at launch, unless there's something that's majorly wrong, that at launch to say we better do it this way, or else we're going to run into problems down the road. So I totally agree with your assessment that right now this is what Google Glass is going to look like for at least the next year and a half, and go from there.
Yeah.
So one more thing before we get into the news, something's coming down. Something this way comes, Luke. We're working on something, right?
We are definitely working on some little Google Glass related projects, right?
Yep. Yes. And that's all we're gonna say right now. So you guys keep on checking it out. So and go from there. One last thing, Luke, you were on Wearables Weekly. We want to thank Libby Chang for being on Wearables Weekly, being on the show last week. I will definitely, when I get back to Madison, I will be setting up a time to be part of that show, and hopefully we'll have this back and forth between those two shows, because I watched the show, I had a lot of fun, I learned a lot, and it's a great show. So check it out, Wearables Weekly, over on Google Plus. So let's get into the news for this week, and I won't be able to show the screens because I've got everything on my laptop, and it's just like I'm juggling around screens just to get this going. So we're gonna start over at ZDNet, and apparently Virgin Atlantic is planning to put not only a Google Glass but also a Sony smartwatch. They're called concierges, and they'll be able to use glass and use the watch to get you to where you need to go. Because right now I can actually put in my flight information, and it shows up on my glass. And I knew exactly, once I paired it up with my phone, I turned my phone on once the plane landed in Minneapolis, I knew which gate to go to at that point. And what they're going to do, and we're seeing a lot of this with glass, is the hospitality and the healthcare and the law enforcement, they're all getting on board with a wearable technology such as Google Glass to use it to better lifestyles. And this is perfect for Virgin Atlantic, because I'd see that type of service with every single flight. Luke, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, just having access to that information quicker, easier, being notified when, hey, there's somebody coming off this flight that you need to catch because, you know, they're in a hurry, or, you know, they need some help, or maybe it's a child traveling and, you know, you got to make sure to help them, you know, so all that kind of stuff, just being able to get it, you know, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, Yeah, I can definitely see the need for that information. You know, they're not going to read the entire travel manifest and read through everybody's names and do any kind of that. You know, and they're like, it's not really made for that. But if it's some quick alert, you know, just being able to get that right away makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, what the article is stating that airline staff is going to be equipped with either Google Glass or a Sony Smartwatch 2. Connected to the concierge dispatch app of Virgin's passenger service system. They'll send passenger information directly to concierge smart glass or the watch, whatever they're wearing, of course. And, of course, this is also being tested for the upper wing. And I think they're only doing this in London at Heathrow right now. So if you're flying out of Heathrow, you might be able to do that. And, of course, if you're watching the show and you fly out Virgin Atlantic through Heathrow and you happen to see one of these concierges, feel free to snap a picture and send it to us, Jeff at twig.tv, T-W-I-G-G.tv, or Luke at twig.tv. So let's move on from there because I've got some other things to do. We're going to try and get this part going pretty quick. The NYPD is working on getting Google Glass into a couple of their squad cars. In fact, I saw a few pictures. I don't know if they were New York cars. It's just one person actually wore a pair of Google Glass. That is a car. But I've seen a picture that's been flying around Google Plus right now where the cop is wearing glass. But the New York Police Department, they're going to have two pair of Google Glass specs, experimental, and so they can feed information directly in the eye. It's part of their ongoing interest in the advancements of the field of technology. And they have two pair of Google Glass now. They've been evaluating the devices. And they're already being used in other ways of public safety. Because it especially with that wink feature that's on this newer pair of Google Glass, where I can just do this and take a picture. If a police officer is in a situation where they need to take a picture of something, they can just do that and take that picture. If they could hold it down and get the video, if there is somebody unruly. In fact, I was here while we were walking around. We had this guy walked up to me, and he didn't have a voice, and he was trying to get some money from me. And they have a thing called the Ranger system here, which the Rangers were spot on. It's like a security for Fremont Street, and they carted him away. But something like that, I could have actually started the recording, and so if I had to go to court on it or something like that, I had the video to back everything up. So this is another reason why we're seeing different professions starting to use things like Google Glass as opposed to the regular consumer. What are your thoughts on that, Luke?
Yeah, and I think it's good. Holding our police officers accountable, is great. Just being able to have that kind of perfect memory of what actually happened, because you get it in the heat of the moment and the human memory is not quite as perfect as it always seems, where you don't actually remember things as well as you thought you did. But video is a lot harder to forget. You can go back and rewatch it, and I mean that's why we have slow-mo replays on football games, right? So that they can go back and actually review what happened, and the video doesn't lie. Sometimes you kind of wish you had a different angle or something like that, but having any video of the situation is going to be probably better just for proof, whether for making sure cops don't aren't taking advantage of anybody, or the other way, making sure people aren't getting taken advantage of, so people don't take advantage of the cops either and say no, they hurt me or they treated me like this. And it's like those dash cams on police cars are they're already doing this kind of stuff where they record the entire interaction in case something happens. They have what everybody said on tape, exactly. And they have a video and stuff. So it's not really any, like we've said a lot, it's not really anything new. It's just kind of a different way of doing it. So, and maybe it's the same kind of thing. They can get those alerts a little quicker and they can see, oh, hey, there's an alert in your area. There's, somebody's put a distress call out, and it's something they don't have to get their phone out, or, you know, they don't, there isn't something coming over the radio where other people might hear what's, you know, going on or something like that. You know, they just can get this little private message in their heads up display saying, hey, there's an incident going on and we need, you know, backup one block from where you're at. And like, that would be, that'd be great if they could just notify everybody in an area. So
now let's just kind of take a turn down a different avenue here. What if Google decided, okay, we've got Google Hangouts. Let's create a version of Google Hangouts for the professional. Let's create a business Hangout where the only people, it'd basically be a closed environment that only certain people can get into. Like, for instance, the New York Police Hangout. And then you kind of get the glass, you have the glass that's tuned to that. So if they start doing a Hangout, the only people that are watching that Hangout are other sergeants or whatever back at a dispatch and getting stuff like that. Same thing with medical situations. They have a Cedars-Sinai Hangout or something like that, you know, where they talk back and forth, but, you know, nobody, you or I couldn't join that Hangout to see that information. I thought you were going to say something.
No, I was just saying, yeah, it makes sense. And, you know, Google did just release that, I don't know if it's released or they've just announced it, that conference call solution for businesses, where it's kind of a video chat between that. So you could easily see them, you know, taking that same technology. And that's basically all they're doing, is taking, you know, Hangout type technology and using it for video conferencing. So, you know, it'd be a great opportunity for them or for some other business to just say, you know, we're going to use Google Hangouts as our backbone, but, you know, offering that kind of reliability. You know, I could see Google, you know, charging for that, like they charge for a lot of services when you get to the professional, you know, professional level services like that. And there's probably a lot of places that would love to do that. It's like, I'd love to be able to see through the eyes of my department while they're, you know, like they're going up and they're dealing with traffic stops. And for me to be able to just kind of look and see what's going on, and just kind of glance and see, oh, somebody's making a traffic stop, and you could hear what they're saying. And, you know, yeah, we talked about something similar, I think, for Army applications and that. And, you know, it, once someone does it, it's probably going to take off, and just because it provides a better quality of service.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. We'll see what happens there. And we'll keep you appraised. But New York, I think that, you know, every cop should have something like this. I mean, yeah, granted, we might come up with a new version of Cops, the Next Generation on TV or something like that. But right now, it's all about protecting the people and being protected. I mean, police are humans too. Yeah. And if they're taking advantage of citizens, we should be aware of it. If the citizens are taking advantage of the police officers, we should be aware of it. Simple as that. Making this so we don't have those. And I hate it when people make jokes on cops. And I know we had the whole Rodney King incident. And if we would have had Google Glass back then, when one of those would have been wearing it, it would have made a whole different case on the thing. But, you know, there are police officers out there that are trying to do good, and there's been situations where citizens have exploited that, and that's where this wearable technology comes in. Not only Glass, there was a company we talked about it at CES called VView that had wearable technology that took pictures and video. So I'm all for that and keeping everybody safe. That's the main goal of that. So, all right, let's move on from there. Did you want to say one more thing about that or no?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Let's move on from there. Did you know, Luke kind of told me about this. Did you know that there's 17, what'd you call them? 17 commands, right? On Google Glass.
Voice triggers.
So how does that work? And I know this is funny. One of the triggers is start a round of golf. And another trigger is tune an instrument. So why do we have the triggers there with Google Glass?
So The triggers, for anybody who's got glass or maybe seen a video on glass, those are the things that you say after you say, okay, glass. So you wake your glass up and you say, okay, glass, take a picture, right? That's a voice trigger for taking a picture. And so all the third-party apps, basically apps being written by developers outside of Google, they are currently limited to the 17 voice triggers that Google has allowed to be used in published apps. These are apps published through their store, not just published. And so they say you can use anything you want during development, but when you publish, you have to use one of these 17. Now, they do have a way to basically submit a new one. If you're like, well, that doesn't work for me, I've got another idea, and I really need another voice trigger to start my app. Now, so you can submit those, and Google will approve them, assuming some of these didn't exist. I haven't been keeping an eye on this page real closely, so some of these may have been added recently. But they'll probably continue to add more. So.
Yeah, definitely. Because we were talking about a specific app that I won't get into because it might be something that we'll work on once we can get a trigger that will work for that. But right now we've got the 17 are listen to, take a note, post an update, show a compass, start a run, start a bike ride, find a recipe, record a recipe, which is interesting, check me in, start a stopwatch, start a timer, start a round of golf, translate this, learn a song, tune an instrument, play a game, and start a workout. Those are the 17. And as time goes by, we'll see more of those triggers. Now, once again, we're talking about, tune an instrument and start a round of golf. Do we have apps out there for these triggers yet? That you know of?
Not that I'm aware of, but I thought there was a golf app, so that might be the trigger for that golf app that we've seen. That I don't play golf, so I never tried it out. So maybe.
What do you mean you don't play golf? That's you need to start playing some golf, Mister.
I probably do.
Yeah.
Tune an instrument. I don't recall there being any apps out there for tuning an instrument. So. These are probably, there might be some hints in here of some upcoming apps, or maybe these are just Google's ideas of apps they'd like to see, and so that maybe this is one way to encourage it by saying, hey, if you put an app that has this, you don't have to get it, you don't have to convince us to add one, you can just use one of these, so.
Yeah. Now, to an instrument, being a musician, it's intriguing me, but the one problem with the tune an instrument is most of the time a tuner has to be on the instrument for it to get an accurate tune. Now, with that said, I could have tune an instrument and the instrument being my vocals, and let's say I want to hone in on where my A flat is and where my C sharp is and stuff like that, and I could sing a note and I could see if I'm flat or if I'm sharp, and then I can make the adjustments to actually get my own perfect pitch going, and that would be kind of cool as a musician. So I'm interested on that. But to tune an instrument, 98% of the time that device has to be attached to the instrument in some way, shape, or form. And I don't see, unless they have some sort of mini plug that'll go to the instrument, I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening at all. But we'll see what happens because it's there, which means that somebody's asked for it. And they approved it.
Yeah.
Simple as that. So, all right, let's move on to our last segment of the show. And this is we're gonna keep low key on this. And there's reasons why I'm gonna keep low key on this, but it's very important that we have to talk about this. There are a group of guys that actually are here in Vegas, and I've met them last month at CES. They're technically the reason why I'm here. They have another program or another device called PowerGlass, which is what we did an interview on over at geekazine.com. But they created an app called NameTag, and it's really cool. You can actually do some facial recognition, and it pulls from all these databases. Well, one of the databases that it pulls from is the sex offender database, and apparently it's getting a lot of false positives. Of course, as this app is in beta, once again, let me rephrase. As this app is in a closed beta, which means you can't get the app, you have to contact them and say, okay, I want to be a beta tester, and then they send you the app. Once you're in the closed beta, then you're giving them feedback. But apparently there's a lot of false positives, as a beta, closed beta app will probably have. And so Senator Al Franken got in wind of this, and of course he put out some letters about iPhone and privacy issues there, and now he's following up with different devices, and of course Google Glass being next. And so he sent out a letter, which they did do a reply on, which I'm gonna post the article, which is over on The Verge, and then I'm gonna post their reply, which is over on facialnetwork.com, which basically is saying, we thank you very much for looking at this, but right now we're in closed beta, we're trying to work the bugs out, and it's not going to be perfect every single time. And once we get it to a point where we feel comfortable putting it out, we're going to put it out there. Now, like I said, I'm not defending them in any ways. I'm just reporting what is out there on the internet from there. So, and I want to keep that that way simply because of the fact that I think this is an app, whether it becomes NameTag or somebody else, we're going to have an app out there for facial recognition. And I'll tell you right now, I know of three other groups that are working on facial recognition apps. So, and I bet you there's more that I don't know about. So, Luke, now you talked about this on Wearables Weekly. What was the general consensus over there?
I would say the general consensus was people are reacting a little too early. This is maybe just a play to get some more press. You know, something pops up, and so people want to respond to it as quickly as possible and try to get their name associated with it to do that. So there was some talk about, well, this is, you know, kind of what politicians do, is they respond to things. And, you know, Al Franken is on the privacy subcommittee or something in Congress, and so, you know, this is kind of his domain, and like it, you know, if anybody's going to respond, it probably should be somebody on the privacy domain, you know, subcommittee. And you know, I think we kind of talked about how, you know, if they did something opt-in, that might turn the tide a little bit more, and there are some others that are trying to do more like something closer to opt-in, where you kind of say, here are my friends, or here's my network, and let me link to that, and just show me matches from within my network. And if it's a really and then a lot of it is, it's still in beta. It's not even, you know, it's not public yet. This isn't, you know, and that's what's funny, is people are reacting this way really strongly to something that, you know, you can't easily get. They could give the government, or, you know, Al Franken, and they could say, here is the list of everyone that we have ever sent this app to. You know, like they literally have that list. It's not up on some publicly accessible store where anyone could get it. So it's pretty tightly controlled. So I think that there's definitely some work they're going to have to do to make people more comfortable with this idea. And they may have to change their, you know, their policies, or change how they're doing it and make it something more opt-in. You know, I don't know if you had more thoughts on that.
Well, yeah. Basically, the one thing that people have to remember is they're pulling from lists that technically are public. I could go on my computer right now, and I could look up through a sex offender list or another database your name. Yeah, if your Facebook profile is public, like mine is, it's gonna be there. Now, we talk about that. But the one thing that you can remember is, and this comes back to the phone. If I type in a number, a phone number, and it's not in a public place anywhere, it's just going to show up as a number. So if I called you Luke, you would never say Luke Wallace unless I actually typed in Luke Wallace and put a picture in for you, and that information would never pull from my phone to go to somebody else's phone. However, if it's a public number, like for instance the place that I'm staying at, when I call the number, yeah, it's going to show up as that place because that's a public place, and you have that number, and we're working on that. But it's never going to be Joe Schmoll is calling from this number. It's always just going to be this number's calling. Same thing with Glass. If you've got a private, if your life is private and you don't have anything on CCAP or the Sex Offender Register or CCAP for some people, some states don't have it, is they, you know, if you go to court for anything, for if the landlord sues you or the power company sues you or you get a divorce or something like that, show up on, oh, Wisconsin has CCAP, you show up on that database, and that's a public searchable database. So that would then go from there. Yeah, they need to tighten it up. But, you know, once again, closed beta. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. I will definitely be talking to the guys. I don't know how much they'll be divulging to me. I'm hoping that we're going to sit down and have a nice conversation. We'll bring up the issues and hopefully get some good answers off of that and go from there. But right now, that's what it is. It's beta, and hopefully NameTag can get those bugs worked out.
Yeah, I do think so. If they're watching and you talk to them, I think it would be neat if they added a lot more celebrities into their database. So they have a few that they use, but then it seemed like every other, like I tried looking up some other celebrities by their pictures off of IMDb or what have you, and they were all just matching very, very low like matches. They weren't saying that it was very likely, mm-hmm. but it seemed like all they had was a sex offender database. So it came back with like, well, it's 60% this guy and 50% this guy and 20% this guy, and like, because it didn't really match anybody. So I think it would be cool even if they added in celebrities. So that way when you're watching a TV show or, you know, something like that, you could be like, ooh, hold on, I can just pull it up and I can do a search by looking at the guy. Because it's like, I know that guy. Where's that guy from? And
so, what's really funny is me and Jennifer do a – Jennifer's like the human IMDb. It's like Jennifer – we were watching a movie, Evil Sexy Genius with Seth Green and William Baldwin was in it, and the female is the I guess she was on Battlestar Galactica, and that's where her main stardom comes from. But you know, I always say, well, who's, like, for instance, there was one guy that I see in a lot of TV shows. He was in Oz, for example. His name's Harold Perot, and I had no idea. And it's like, who is that, Jennifer? And she'll go, oh yeah, it's this guy. So it'd be kind of nice if I just did that and did a facial recognition and go from there. So
I think they should do that and just say, look, you can identify celebrities, and everyone's like, oh, that's great, that's awesome, that's the greatest thing ever. So,
like, and then they walk down the street, and then they go, oh wait, no, that's so and so. Oh, again, I need to get your autograph. I don't know.
Because I would much rather, when I do a facial recognition on, let's say, somebody I know to like show them what it's like, I'd rather it pop up a celebrity that I look like, you know, even if it's only a very low match. I'd rather do that than some sex offender that I look like. And like, oh, good, that's who I need to be most closely identified with.
So who would you – who? What celebrity would you be?
That's a tough one. There's this one guy that somebody I work with mentioned, but I don't remember his name. And it's not anyone that I recognized.
Okay.
Like, I didn't know the name, and I looked it up, and I'm like, yeah, I guess maybe a little bit, but he was in some. Yeah, I don't remember. I have to get that information.
I would say you look a little bit like a grown up. No, I was gonna say Macaulay Culkin, but no, that's not right. So, I don't know. Well, who does Luke Wallace look like? Celebrity-wise, let us know. Twitter us or email us at jeff@twig.tv or luke@twig.tv.
Yeah.
So that does wrap it up. I need to get going. So that does wrap it up for this show. I am in Vegas all week, and I will be back next Monday. I don't know if we'll... You know, I'll be flying and flying late. So since we're doing a show today, then maybe we'll skip for next week. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
Got a little bit of a lag here.
Okay. There, you're back on mine.
Luke, why don't you have everybody tell where you can get all you?
Oh, sure. You can reach me, Luke.
How do they get a hold of you, Luke?
Yeah, Luke Luca on Twitter or Luke at twig.tv, TWIGG.TV. The celebrity that I've been compared to in the past was Anthony Rapp from the cast of Rent, the musical. So there's a fun
really?
Fact to look up. Yeah, that's who I've been most closely, or that's who I've been compared to before. No one most people know, I guess, and I didn't even know who it was, but I am honored to be mistaken for him.
So, did you just look that up, or?
I remember, like, it finally hit me that it was somebody in the cast of Rent, and so I looked through, and okay. I was like, oh, there's the guy, yeah.
Okay. So. Well, I'll have to look that up and go from there. first of all, apologies for the skipping. I'm doing it over Wi-Fi from a remote location. I usually hardwire in my computer. So if there were some skips in here, I do apologize. But you can find me over at Geekazine, Think Magazine, put in a geek. Of course, Jeff at twig.tv, TWIGG.TV. That does it for this episode of This Week in Google Glass. If you have any questions, feel free to contact us in many different ways. And, of course, if you like the show, go over to This Week in Google Glass over on Google+. We also have a survey going over at thisweekinggoogleglass.com. So go over there, sign up, and take the survey. It's a quick 8 answers, just basically saying, what do you think of the show? Do you think you should replace Jeff with somebody else? Do you think Luke should be part of the show Rent and go on Broadway tour? Mm-hmm. Those types of questions. Just go over there and take the survey. It helps us tailor the show and go from there. So thank you guys very much for watching. My name is Jeffrey Powers. Thanks to Luke for being a part of this. And we will see you next time when it will be another episode of This Week in Google Glass.